The Torah tells us that on the three Yamim Tovim of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they're called Shalosh Regalim, because the men called Zuchurcha are obligated to be Oyla Rego, to go visit the Azara and to bring a Korban Oyla Sriya. So this mitzvah of Ali Oyla Rego, when you read the Chumash, only applies on the Shalosh Regalim. It doesn't apply on Rosh Chodesh. But we read in the Navi Yeshaya, the very end of the Navi Yeshaya, next to the last pasuk, that Lasi Lava, when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, V'hayom Yidechodesh V'chadsho, Midei Shabbat V'shabbato, Yavon Kol Basor L'shtatvos L'fanai, Omar Hashem, that Lasi Lava, when the third Beis Hamikdash will be built, everyone will come to be Oyla Regal, every Rosh Chodesh, and every Yontif. Shabbat V'shabbato refers to Yontif, like it says in Chumash, Mimachos HaShabbos, the Pod Counting Spirit. Doesn't refer to Sunday, it refers to Thursday, Chol Hamoed Pesach. So the Pasuk in Navi says that Lasi Lava, we will be Oyla Regal on Rosh Chodesh. This is very strange. The Rambam considers as one of the 13 Yikori HaEmuna that the laws of the Torah will never change. So if all these centuries we always assumed that the mitzvah of Ali Oyla Regal only applies on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, how can we assume that Lasi Lavoi, the mitzvah, will apply even on Rosh Chodesh? So there's an interesting comment that the Yalkut Shemoni has on that pasuk, that all of the years of the Golos, the Jewish people were crying over the fact that we weren't able to be Oyla Regal on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And we said, "Mipnei Chatoinu Golilim Yartzeinu, Ve'enachnu Chelavalus L'Gros, L'Shtachos L'Panecho." And we pray, Yirotz Mufanecho, that the Beis Hamikdash will be built, and Hashem Nala Meniroya, and Hashtar Palafanecho, we will be able to be Oyla Regal, and bring the Mishtachve, whoever visits the Azor has to be Mishtachve, and to bring the Oyla Sriya. So the Yalkut Shemaini says, today is all the crying, that we so many years didn't have the ability to fulfill all the other regals. So the Rebbe Hashem says, I'll tell you what, third base of Nigdash will be built, make up all of those Aliyah regals that you missed all the years during the Golus, come visit our Rosh Chodesh. So it's still a question, but the Rambam says the laws of the Torah never change. So perhaps the answer should be as follows. The Gemara says that there's a mitzvah to visit the Rebbe, Chayvorim Lahakbol Tanei Rabba Beregel. Just like we assume that there's a mitzvah to visit the Shechinah on Shabbos Shagot, so the mitzvah to visit the Rebbe as well. And there's a famous comment that Rebbe Yehuda makes that's quoted in the commentaries in Shulchan Aruch on the bottom of the page, that b'zman she'ein beis hamikdash kayom, that there's no beis hamikdash, we can't visit the Shechinah on Shabbos Shagot, so the obligation to visit the Rebbe can't be minatur, it's only midirabbanon b'zman. So the two are linked together. Visiting the Beis Hamikdash and Sholosh Regalim, visiting the Rabbeim, are somehow connected with each other. So the Pasuk says when Elisha Anavi accomplished, he was Mechaya, the child, the woman was childless for so many years, and Elisha gave her a bracha, she had a baby, and then the baby died from a sunstroke. And Elisha did a mitzvah, and he brought the baby back to life. So, when first the husband didn't realize that the child died, he just saw that he wasn't feeling well, so he took him home. So then the baby died, the wife didn't tell her husband that the baby died. So she said she wants to go visit the Navi, Elisha. So the husband said, why do you want to go to the Navi? L'chodesh ayom lo Shabbos. Today is neither Rosh Chodesh, nor is it Yom Tov. Just like in the other pasuk, v'hayom midechodesh b'chodesh, midei Shabbos b'shabbato, Shabbos doesn't refer to Shabbos, it refers to Sholosh Regalim, Yontif. So in this pasuk as well, he says, why do you want to go visit the Navi? Today is neither Rosh Chodesh nor Yontif. So you only visit the Rebbe on Sholosh Regalim and on Rosh Chodesh. So it would appear from the pasuk that not only lo'asi lavoi, to make up for all the missing aliyah l'regals, it was always like that. It was always an inyan of visiting the Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh, which implies that there's always an inyan of visiting the Beis Hamikdash on Rosh Chodesh. So the Pashtus, you have to suggest, you have to say something like this, that on Shalosh Agolim there's an absolute obligation, there's a chiyuv to visit the Beis Hamikdash and to visit the Rebbe. On Rosh Chodashim, it was always a mitzvah sarishus. There is such a thing. That's what the Netziv, in the end of his commentary on Chumash Vayikra, writes that he came to learn in Balozhin Yeshiva. So the Nachlas David was still alive, and he had traditions. Rav Chaim Volozhin was not alive. Rav Chaim Volozhin had founded the yeshiva in 1802. So when the Netziv came, Rav Chaim Volozhin was not alive. But there was still Talmidim of Rav Chaim Volozhin. They had a lot of traditions from Rav Chaim Volozhin. So this was one of the traditions that he said in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only the first night of Pesach, but if one volunteers to eat matzah the rest of Pesach, there's such a concept as a mitzvah kiyumis. There are those who claim that there doesn't exist such a concept. A mitzvah means mitzvah. You're obligated. If you're not obligated, just volunteering on your own. How can you consider that a mitzvah? But the Netziv quotes that that's what he heard when he was a youngster. He came to learn about Balozhin before his bar mitzvah. So he heard in the yeshiva that that's what they said in the name of the Vilna Goyen, that there's such a concept as a mitzvah sarshus. So the same over here. Perhaps that's what you have to say. On Shalosh Agolim, there's an obligation to be Ola Regel. On Rosh Chodesh, there never was and never will be an obligation. The laws of the Torah are not changing, but there always was, in the future there will be, a mitzvah sarshus to visit the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh. So the Navi says, the way the Yalkut Shemini Tavim Navi says, if you really feel bad over the fact that all the years of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you weren't able to be Ola Regel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, so lo se lavoi, take hold, seize hold of that mitzvah sarshus, visit the Beis HaMikdash every Rosh Chodesh. We hope and we pray the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt during our lifetime. We should have this chus to be Ola Regel on the Rosh Chodesh in addition to the Shalosh Regel.
This morning in the middle of davening we recited Chatzi Hallel, and the Gemara explains that the reason why we recite Chatzi Hallel is because the whole thing is only a minhag on Rosh Chodesh. On Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, it's an obligation. It's a question whether it's a biblical obligation or a rabbinical obligation. Is it a mitzvah min haTorah, mitzvah min haRabbanan? That's a big dispute, but it's obligatory. But reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. It's not a real din. The Gemara tells us that Rav was already an adult. He had already received smicha in Eretz Yisrael from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and then he moved to Bavel because there was a big lack of learning there, and he established the yeshiva. Rav and Shmuel, they were two friends. They both moved from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but there's a bigger mitzvah to teach Torah in Chutz La'aretz to the Balabatim. So they both moved to Bavel, and each one established a big yeshiva. They were Marbitz Torah Barav. So the Gemara tells that when Rav came to Bavel, there was such hamaratzis, people didn't know Hilchos Shabbos, they didn't know the laws of Kashrus. They were very ignorant. So on one day, Rav came into Shul on Rosh Chodesh, and he sees that they're saying Hallel. So he never heard of this. He was already an adult with smicha, never heard of reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. He was going to walk over to the chazan and tell him to stop reciting Hallel. It's a mistake. One doesn't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And then he realized that the chazan was skipping a paragraph here and a paragraph there. So he realized it must be that this is a local minhag that they started. So we have that meaning, we recite Hallel, Chatzi Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the reason why we don't say Hallel Shalem, the Rabbeinu Yonah Brachas explains that the Gemara says that there are two types of Hallel. The Hallel that we said today is called Hallel HaMitzri because we say B'tzeis Yisom in Mitzrayim. So Hallel HaMitzri is basically a Hallel that we praise our Kodesh Baruch Hu for the Nisim, for the miracles that he does. And Pesukei Dezimra that we recite every day of the year is also a Hallel. It's a Hallel for Teva. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that he created the whole world with rules and regulations, with natural rules, with the whole system. It's not just Hefker. So the Gemara says, Kolayim HaHallel B'chol Yayim, one who recites the Hallel HaMitzri, what we call Hallel every day of the year, that's highly improper. Hareza Mecharef HaMagadev. If a person says Tillim every day, so that's not, he's saying halal prokim that appear in Sefer Tehillim, that's not a violation of a halal b'chol yom. He's saying it is tehillim. But if he only says that section of halal on the day when he's not obligated to, that the Gemara says is improper, because he's implying as if, Rabbanu Shel Olam, you haven't done any miracles for us lately. What's wrong? How come you're not doing any nisim? Rabbanu Shel Olam doesn't want to make any nisim. The pasuk appears three times in Tanakh. Chod Nasan Lo Yavor, Rabbi Baruch Hu instituted Chukei HaTeva, and he himself doesn't violate the Chukei HaTeva. He doesn't want to violate Teva. So it's only Vayeri Hashem. It says by Yitzias Mitzrayim Vayeri Hashem. So the Medrash Rabba on Chumash Moy says that it was really a Yerida for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was really beneath his dignity to do a Nes. He's a Kel Mistate, he likes to hide, and he instituted Chukei HaTeva, and he doesn't want to break the Chukei HaTeva. So it's a Yerida when he has to make a Nes. So one who recites Hallel on a day when one is not obligated to, that's improper. Not only is it Haimah Hallel B'chol Yom, every single day of the year is improper, Harez and Mecharef and Gadev, but one who recites Hallel on a day that one is not obligated to, is also, it's not proper. That's why many are so excited about HaKamas HaMedina, Kibush Yerushalayim, that they're so thrilled they wanted to say Hallel. So it could be that one is obligated to recite Hallel. That's a question of halacha. But if one is not obligated to, and you say, what do you have to lose? You're just saying prokim and tilim. So that's not really right. To say these prokim alone, not to say the entire tehillim, to say these prokim means you're saying it as hallel. And if you're not obligated to, then it's an iser, even though there's no bracha, even if you're saying hallel without a bracha. Still a question. So that's what the Rabbi Yen explains, that because reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not obligatory, it was only a minhag that developed in Bavel. So that's why Rav never heard of it. So that's why if you say Chatzi Hallel, you're not in violation of that minhag. The prohibition of reciting Hallel Shalem, of reciting Hallel on a day that one is not obligated to, only applies if you say the entire Hallel. So because the Rishonim say, because reciting of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag, so that's why there's a big dispute in the Rishonim whether one recites a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah, Shekedushana B'mitzvah Yisrael V'tzivanu, Likros HaHalel, Birchas HaMitzvah is only recited when one is fulfilling a mitzvah, either a mitzvah min HaTorah or a mitzvah min HaRabbanan. But if one is only observing a minhag, that's a big dispute in the Rishonim. So there are different practices. Half of the world does not recite a bracha. Many Sfardim follow the view of the Rambam that one does not recite a bracha, but one is fulfilling a minhag, like reciting Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Or let's say lighting Neiros on Erev Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in Pesachim has a whole, there's a whole parak Machim Shenogu, that minhagim in the middle of Maseches Pesachim. So the Mishnah says that Avlokas HaNeiros on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov is a real obligation. That's a real din. We spoke yesterday, it's a din of kibbutz, a din of oneg, fine, that's a real din. But halakas haneiros on Erev Yom Kippur is clearly only a minhag. And the Mishnah says, Mokum shenoga lahad madlikin, Mokum shenoga shlo lahad l'keim madlikin. Some communities have the meaning that dafka not to light candles on Erev Yom Kippur. Another that meaning dafka yes to light candles. So since it's only a minhag, so that's why the Rambam's opinion, and then he's trying to follow the Rambam, the Rambam's opinion is that one would not recite a bracha when you light Adlakas Aneres on Erev Yom Kippur. By Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim follow the view of the Bali Atesvis that even a minig like Adlakas Aneres on Erev Yom Kippur, a minig of reciting Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, does require a bracha because one is obligated midrabbanan to observe a minig. The Gemara says a minig is binding mitam neder midrabbanan. If you do a hanhaga toiva and you intend to continue to do it, or if you do a hanhaga toiva three times in a row and you weren't thinking one way or the other whether you intend to continue to observing it, so we assume that that hanhaga toiva becomes binding. Itam neder, the Gemara says midirabbanan. A real neder min hatorah is only nefesh kisushova levate bisvasayim, if the person pronounces with his lips. He says Hareini Noider, he says Hareini Nishba. But if he just does a Hanhaga Toiva, and he plans to continue to do it, so Neder is not Chal Ben Machshava, just because he plans. Or if he does a Hanhaga Toiva three times in a row, not thinking one way or the other, but the fact that he did it three times in a row demonstrates a pattern. So that seems to imply that he plans to continue to do it, even though he wasn't thinking one way or the other. So that becomes binding only midirabbana. Minik tov is binding mitam neder midirabbana. It's not really a neder min haTorah, but it is binding midirabbana. So that's why the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos is that one does recite the bracha, even if one is only fulfilling a minik, like reciting Chatzi Halo or Hadlokas HaNeres Erev Yom Kippur. Kosof Kosof, he's fulfilling a mitzvah midirabbana. It's a neder midirabbana. There are different types of nedarim. Let's say if a person takes a neder, his mother-in-law is celebrating her 96th birthday, and he doesn't get along with the mother-in-law. So he takes a neder, he's not going to go. Takes a neder, sure, he's not going to go. So if he doesn't go to the birthday party, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah. But he didn't violate the avera. Means he's not allowed to violate what he said, but that's not the kiyam mitzvah. But let's say a person takes a neder to give tzedakah. A person takes a neder, he's going to learn a blat gemara today. So he goes ahead and he gives the tzedakah, he goes ahead and he learns the blat gemara. So nidre mitzvah, the two different parshios and the chumash. Nidre harushus, a person takes a neder not to eat potato chips. He takes a neder not to attend neder rishwa, not to attend the mother-in-law's birthday party. But that's called nidri harishus. So if he observes the neder, he doesn't get a kiyam mitzvah. He didn't violate the yisurim of kechol hayetzim mipiv yaseh. But if a person takes a neder the dvar mitzvah to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, or to give tzedakah, or to learn Torah, something like that, a neder the dvar mitzvah, and he fulfills it, so the neder itself is considered, the fulfillment of the neder itself is considered a kiyam mitzvah. So since Hadlokas HaNeres HaNeres Yom Kippur is a nidre, it's a minigut finding mitam neder, that's a nidre mitzvah. That's why Tosfos' opinion is that one does recite the bracha, kosof kosof, it's a mitzvah midirabbana. It's very interesting, where in the world did this minig come from? In Bavel, that they recited Halal on Rosh Chodesh. If the Iker HaDin, there is no such din. So why did such a minig develop? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there's a very fascinating comment that the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvos LaHaRambam. The Gemara tells us that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, but the Gemara doesn't tell us which they are. So the most of the Rishonim assume that the mitzvahs are obligations. There are mitzvahs asay, 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs loisesay, the mitzvahs are averis, and everything altogether adds up to 613. The Vilna Gaon's brother wrote a sefer that's called Milas HaTorah. He quotes from his brother from the Vilna Gaon that he had a completely different sheet then. We're not sure exactly how this fits into the Gemara, but he said that the Gaon lived at the same time that in the world of chemistry and in science, they developed the idea of the theory of atoms, that there are different atoms in the Bria, and everything in the world is a combination of different atoms, different elements. So the Vilna Gaon had such an opinion regarding the 613 mitzvahs. He thought that there were 613 concepts that all of the mitzvahs are based on. And sometimes one mitzvah may have a blend of 11 concepts. Another mitzvah may have a blend of 16 concepts, and there may be overlap. Two of them may be shared in common. The two mitzvahs, the one that has 11 aspects, the one that has 16 aspects, they have an overlap of two. And if you think into it, the Vilna Gaon thought that there were 613 elements, or 613 concepts that are found in all of the mitzvahs together. So when he was younger, he thought that must be the pshat in the Gemara, the 613 mitzvahs, but he doesn't know how to calculate. He doesn't know what would be the 613. Then the children of the Vilna Gaon write in one place that when he was older, he thought that he succeeded in figuring out which they are. Okay, which are the 613 elements. But we usually assume, we usually assume that it means the 613 obligations. There are 248 mitzvahs asay, 365 mitzvahs lois asay. So the Gemara tells us that there seems to be an obligation, maybe biblical even, seems to be an obligation to recite Hallel on certain days. So the Gemara says, we recite Hallel on Chanukah because of Zecher LeNes. We recite Hallel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, not so much Zecher LeNes, but rather out of Simchas Yontif. That's how the Ramban interprets Pshat in the Gemara. Because there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, so there's an obligation to recite Hallel, because Simchas Yontif consists of both Simchas Aguf and Simchas HaNefesh. So for the Simchas Aguf, you have to have Bosa V'yayin. Simchas HaNefesh, one should pour his heart out and praise HaKadosh Baruch and recite Hallel. That's the fulfillment of Simcha. So the Ramban interprets the Gemara, just like the Gemara in Erchin, right, the day before Atur began. So the Gemara asks, how come we don't recite Hallel every single Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, on Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Shabbos is not called Moed. You only recite Hallel on a Yontif when there's a mitzvah of Simcha. Shabbos is no Chiyuv Simcha. The Tosfos in Maseches Ma'akotin quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi the explanation why only Yontif cancels Shiva and Shloshim. Why doesn't Shabbos cancel Shiva and Shloshim? So the Pashtus is that if when the Chachamim set up the whole system of Avelos, if you're going to say Shabbos cancel Shiva, Shabbos cancel Shloshim, so then you never have Shiva, you never have Shloshim. There's always a Shabbos every seventh day. You never have Shloshim. So Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi, that's not the reason why. Some Rishonim give that reason. It's not the reason that the Talmud Yerushalmi gives. So Tosis quotes Yerushalmi that only Yontif cancels Avelos because on Yontif there's a Chiyuv Simcha and Avelos is the opposite from Simcha. So since Asi Esei Derabim, Dochi Esei Diyochid, the whole Klal Yisrael is obligated to observe Simchas Yontif. So that's why even this individual person who's in the state of Avelos, he has to go along with the Tzibut to observe Simchas Yontif. So that's why Yontif terminates the Shiva and terminates the Shloshim. But Shabbos, there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Then the Gemara asks the question, but what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moed. Rosh Chodesh, the Torah quotes in the name of the Gaonim that there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. And the Gaonim demonstrate that it's so based on the pasuk of Yom Simchaschem v'me'odechem v'rosh chodeshechem v'skaitem v'chatzitzres. The blowing of the Hatzaitzers and the Beis HaMikdosh in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaKorbanos is an expression of Simchas Yontif. And the Torah tells us that we're obligated to blow Hatzaitzers on Rosh Chodesh also. So the Torah quotes this from the Gaonim, that from that halacha you see that there is an Indian of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. That's why we said there's an Indian to visit Beis HaMikdosh. Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, there's an obligation to be Oyla Regel. Whenever one is lefnei Hashem, then it's a smachtam lefnei Hashem alakecha. When one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically one will be in the state of simcha. So Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is the zechi of simcha, because we all have a mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. On Rosh Chodesh, there is no chi of aliyah l'regel, but apparently there is a kiyum. That's why the Mevish Yalkut Shemayni on the pasuk towards the very end of Sefer Yeshaya says that Lasi Lava we will all fulfill Aliyah LeRegel not only on the Sholosh HaGolim, even on Rosh Chodashim as well. V'hayom b'dei chodesh b'chodshay b'dei shabbos b'shabbatay yavar kavos. Everyone will be Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh Chodesh. It means that Rosh Chodesh is an Indian of Simcha because one is Lefnei Hashem. So the Ramban sort of implies the Pshat in the Gemara is that Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh, but in the Beis HaMikdash there is a Chiyuv Simcha. On Rosh Chodesh we are all obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash with the purpose of Akrabas HaMasafim. more so than every day of the year. Every day we only have to go for the purpose of Tmidah, HaKrovus HaTmidim. But on Rosh Chodesh, we all have an obligation to be in the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of HaKrovus HaMusafim. So that's why the Ramban interprets in the Gemara that why do we not recite, why is there no obligation to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Because Rosh Chodesh Mutar Basias Malacha. What's the connection between Isa Malacha and reciting Hallel? So the Ramban interprets in the Gemara, Rosh Chodesh is Mutar Basias Malacha, means that the whole relevance of the Kedusha Sayyam of Rosh Chodesh, the Kedusha Sayyam is only relevant in the Beis HaMikdash with respect to HaKrovus HaMusafim. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the Ramban implies there would be a chiyuv to recite Hallel, because there was a chiyuv Simcha. That's why on Shabbos, the commentaries raise a question, commentaries on the Siddur raise a question. If on Shabbos we say there's no chiyuv Simcha, that's what the Gemara says, you don't recite Hallel because there's no chiyuv Simcha. Shabbos is not referred to as Moed. So how come in the Davin we say, Yisbuchu Malchus Choshem Re Shabbos? There's no mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. So different suggestions are given. So you look in the Sefer, there's Dechemed, which is a type of an encyclopedia. So the Dechemed quotes many different suggestions. And Rav Soloveitchik thought the best suggestion was that on Shabbos also there is a chiyuv to be enter the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of bringing Musafim. So the Nusach Ashkenaz makes sense. Nusach Ashkenaz only adds that the piyut is Mechub Malchuscha by Musaf. In connection with HaKrovus HaMusafim, there is a Chiyuv Simcha because we have a special obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of bringing the Musafim. So the same Marosh Chodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, when there was a special obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of HaKrovus HaMusafim, at that time there would be a Chiyuv Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ramban implies that in the Beis HaMikdash, in conjunction with the Musafim, there was an obligation to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So the Minhag developed in Bavel that they recited Hallel even Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash. It's like a Zecher LeMikdash. In the Mikdash they recited Hallel because there was a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh in conjunction with the Musafim. So in Bavel they developed such a Minhag to recite Hallel even though they're not in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why some Rishonim claim, Raibin quotes this practice, that the minhag that developed to recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only b'tzibur. If a person is in shul and all tzibur is davening tefillah b'tzibur, so then you have to recite Hallel b'tzibur. But b'yachid, there never was such a minhag. The minhag only developed b'tzibur, not b'yachid. Why? It's a zecher l'migdosh. In the Beis HaMikdash, the tzibur was obligated to bring the musafim. Because they had to go to the Beis HaMikdash specially for the purpose of the Musafim, so whoever is the Lifnei Hashem is Usmachtam Lifnei Hashem Alakech. Being in the state of Lifnei Hashem itself engenders a Chiyuv of Simcha. So B'tzibur, if you daven in B'tzibur on Rosh Chodesh, then there's an obligation to recite Hallel. So many have the practice that you only say a Broch on Hallel if you daven in B'tzibur. If you daven b'yachid on Rosh Chodesh, that there never was such a minhag to recite Hallel. See, if you want to volunteer, that's not really the minhag. You only say a bracha if you're fulfilling a minhag that's meaningful. Different minhagim, Baruch Hashem. All the minhagim are beautiful. In quote the Rav Chaim Volozhin, his practice was, if it will be Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, when clearly there's an obligation, midina, idem and atorim in the Rabbanon to recite Hallel, he would recite the bracha, even though he was not the chazan. He would say the bracha shekedushana b'mitzvah yisar v'tzivano likros ahalo. But on Rosh Chodesh, when it's only a minug, and it's a big dispute between Tosfos and the Rambam, whether one recites a bracha when observing this type of a minug, of reciting chatzi hal on Rosh Chodesh, so he wouldn't want to say his own bracha. Maybe it'll be a bracha about dola. So he would rely on the chazan's bracha. The chazan would say the bracha likros ahalo. Like whenever we have a shaila whether something is permissible on Shabbos, so we get a Shabbos goy. You have the nachris. So the chazan was the Shabbos goy. The Chaim Volozhin would say, "Amen." Okay, he said the bracha for us. Maybe it was a bracha about Tola. Maybe not. So why should we all say the bracha? the Rasvadish communities, but that is the practice. Amash Chayrish, only the Chasen says the bracha. And the Tzibur just says Amen, the Yetzib of the Chasen's bracha. The common practice is that by the Ashkenazim, everybody says a bracha on Halal, because we follow the opinion of the Balei HaTesis that one recites a bracha even on this type of a minig. There's another type of a minig that for sure does not require a bracha. The Gemara says clapping Hoshainus on Hoshana Rabbah, either waving the Hoshainus or banging the Hoshainus, whatever the word Chivat HaRava means, different opinions how to read the Gemara. So the Gemara says that's only a minig, and therefore we do not recite a bracha. That's a minig that never exists anywhere as a real din. Reciting halal sometimes does exist as a din. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Hadlakas HaNeiros does exist as a real din on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So even when you light Neiros on Erev Yom Kippur, when the Ikar HaDin there never was a takana, but that's the minhag HaMakimus. If the minhag HaMakim is that you light Neiros, so Hadlakas HaNeiros exists on Shabbos and Yom Tov as a real din. Even on Erev Yom Kippur, that is not really a Takanas Chachamim, but only depends on the minig. Let's say reciting Halal does exist as a real din. On Pesach Shavuos, Idem and HaTorah and the Rabbanim. So even when we recite Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, which is only a minig, so the common practice by the Ashkenazim is that everybody says the bracha, because this type of a minig has a kiyum. It exists as a mitzvah sometimes. But klapping Hoshainus outside of the minig on Hoshana Rabbah never exists as a mitzvah anyway. So that type of a minig one would not recite a bracha on. But if it's a minig like Hadlakas Neiros on Erev Yom Kippur, a minig like reciting Halal Chatzi Halal on Rosh Chodesh, so that's the common psak of the Ashkenazim, is that everyone would recite the bracha on this type of a minig. Musaf, Tfilas on Musaf of Shchodesh and Yamim Tovim, we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and give us the opportunity to bring Tvinim Kisidram and Musafim Kihil Chosom. So Rav Shlomo LaVilna, who lived in the late 1800s, he was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He was the one who corrected the galleys when he printed the Vilna Shas Achan of Alman Aram. Printed the Vilna Shas. So Shlomo LaVilna wrote a whole sefer called Binyan Shlomo. So in the sefer, he quotes the following interpretation. What does that lashon mean in the davening, in the musaf, the davening we will bring? We always say it on Rosh Chodesh and on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed. We don't say it on Shabbos to bring Tvinim Kisidram. Do we say it musaf in Kel Chasam? Forgot everything, but we say it on Shabbos. He says, he thinks that the Lashon Musaf et Kivol Chasam implies the following. Normally, the din is that if a person is obligated to bring a set of karbanas, one of the karbanas is a chatas, one of the karbanas is an olo. So you have to, the din requires you have to bring the chatas first and then bring the olo. A chatas is to gain kaparet, gain forgiveness for sins. Ola is a gift, a Torah. So first you have to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu by gaining a kapara. And then and only then does it make sense to give a Torah, to give a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forgive you yet, so you're not on speaking terms with Him. So it doesn't make sense to give a Torah. So that's a din in the Mishnah and Zvachim. Whenever a person has an obligation to bring a set of karbanas, so your letters brings a set of karbanas, but Tzoruhu becomes Tohar. Different people have to bring a set of karbanas, assisting of an Ola and a Chatos, and the Chatos is Kademus Le'ola. That's the Halacha. So the Psukim in the Chumash, in the Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah lists off all of Musafim, so at first it mentions all of the Olois, and then it mentions the Chatos at the end. But Halacha L'maisa, that's not the way they brought it in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why we say, first they brought the chatas, then they brought all of the 10 oilas. They bring 11 korbanas, musafim, on Rosh Chodesh. 10 are oila, and one is a chatas. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we will be thrilled to bring Tmirim to Sidra, the regular Tamar Shel Shachar, Tamar Shel Ben Abayim every day. Who was Safim, not the way it says in the Chumash, but the Musafim Kihil Chasam, according to the Halacha of the Torah Shabbat Peh, not the way it says in the Chumash, the 10 oilers first and then the Chattas, but rather Kihil Chasam, they bring the Chattas first before the oiler. Now we don't do anything on Rish Chodesh, but the minig is, Tzadikim make a Sudas for Shchaydish, it says in Shulchan Aruch. Make a Sudas for Shchaydish to let everyone know that today is Rish Chodesh. But Mikra Din, there isn't really an obligation to have a Sudas for Shchaydish. And that's why the Din is that if one would recite Birchas Hamazon after eating bread on Rish Chodesh and he would forget Yalav Yavai, he wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's an obligation to have a Suda. Out of Oinek, Oinek Shabbos, Oinek Yotif, there's an obligation to have a Suda. So if one forgets to say Mitzvah, Yalav Yavai, one is obligated to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. He was really Yotze Benshin, it would appear for the Gemaras. If one forgets Mitzvah, Yalav Yavai, he's Yotze Benshin, just not Yotze the Suda Shabbos or the Suda Yontif. But on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, there is no Chiyuv Suda. So just that it's proper to mention Yalav Yavai, to mention the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed. That's Me'ein HaMoer, Haskaras Me'ein HaMoer. But that's not Me'akev B'Di'evet. Only on Rosh Chodesh there is no Chiyuv Suda. So if you forgot Yalav Yavai, you're Yotze the Benshin. Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though you forgot Ritzei Yalav Yavai, you are Yotze the Benshin. But you're not Yotze the Suda. So that's why the Chachamim permitted us to recite Birchas Hamazon a second time, and we don't consider it a bracha levatola. We're allowed to repeat Birchas Hamazon a second time in order to be kaveh the Suda as a Suda Shabbos, as a Suda Yontif. But that's clear that if a person recites that Tzimimah, a person says Birchas Hamazon, Avrish Chedesh or Chol HaMoed, if you got to say Yalav Yavai, he doesn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon because of that. Akiva Eger published a collection of tshuvas, the shailas that were asked of him. So the tshuvas are not in chronological order. They're not in the order that the shailas were presented to him. They're not in the order, and they're not in the order of the Shulchan Aruch either. So one would have thought, perhaps, that he would have put the strongest tshuva first. So when you start reading his sefer, you get the first tshuva is going to be a knockout essay. So the first tshuva is at this very shvach. The whole topic is a little ridiculous. Somebody was benching on Yontif. They forgot to say Yalav Yavai. So the din is, you have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon. That's a din in the Gemara. So the question was, but a woman said, her father is a religious man, a learned man. And she remembers they once benched on Yontif and they forgot Yalav Yavai. They didn't have to repeat the bench. So the Rebbe Kivega writes, you're making a mistake. Either you made a mistake, you forgot, or your father made a mistake. The din is that in the Gemara, that if you forgot Yalav Yavai on Suras Yontif, you have to repeat the bench. That's the tshuva. Then in the footnote, Rebbe Kivega says, maybe there is something to it. So he fills up a whole case. Maybe women, although women are obligated to observe the Isim Alocha on Yontif, women are obligated to recite Kiddush on Yontif, just like on Shabbos, despite the fact that the mitzvah of Kiddush should have been a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. So Kiddush is an exception to the rule, despite the fact that it's man grama, women are obligated. But maybe the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, the Gemara has a machlokes. The Rambam and the Raavad, where the women are mechuyev and Simchas Yontif. What does Simchas Yontif mean? You have to eat basar v'yayin. So the Gemara says, well, it says in the Chumash, "Samachta ata ha'keger v'yosav ha'almona asher b'kir becha." So it says you have to invite the almona to give her basar v'yayin. So don't you see from the pasuk that women are mechuyev and Simchas Yontif? So how can you have a machlokes? So the Gemara says that's one way to read the pasuk. You have to invite the almana, because women are, this mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is also an exception to the rule, despite the fact that women are potter from tzitzis and tefillin and shofar and lulav. because it says Man Gramam, but Simchas Yontov is an exception to the rule. There are many exceptions to the rule. We're not Mukhait in Matzah, we're not Mukhait in Kiddush. There perhaps are more exceptions to the rule than mitzvahs that follow the rule. Many exceptions. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. That's one opinion the Rambam and the Rabbit have about it, is that women are Mukhait with Simchas Yontov. The other opinion is no. Isha Baila Mesamcha. It says Samachta Ata Uvei Secha, Mesa's a Wishto. Then it says Vagir Vayasma Almana, the Almana. Means that you're not in fulfillment of Simchas Yontov unless you invite your wife, unless you invite the Almanas to eat Basar Yayin with you. But they're not obligated to have the Basar Yayin. They don't want to, they don't have to have it. They're not Mukhayim in Simcha. But as part of your Chayyar Simcha, you say to it that the less fortunate people, the Almanas or the Ger or the Yasam, who can't afford to have Basar Yayin, you should, part of your Chayyar Simcha is to be Musameach others. That's a big machlekes halacha l'maisa. The Rambam and the Rabbi, where the women are mechuyev to have basar v'yayin on Yontif, are women obligated in Simchas Yontif. Rabbi Gileger suggests, he's trying to reconstruct what happened in this woman's home. The woman claims that she remembers that on Yontif the people were benching and they forgot the Alav Yava, and her father was a religious man, a learned man. He said that you don't have to repeat the benching. Rabbi Gileger says it's against the Gemara. So he suggests, maybe the Maisa Shemaya was that a woman forgot Yalom Yavai. Maybe since, even if you forget Yalom Yavai, or it's say in the benching, you Yotze the benching, just like Yotze the Sudas Shabbos or the Sudas Yontif, so the Chachamim permitted us to repeat the benching. It's not considered a bracha l'matola. Even though you were Yotze the benching, you were allowed to bench a second time. The purpose of being Kaveh the Suda as a Sudas Yontif. So maybe the Maaseh Shoyim was that a woman forgot Yalav Yavai. And according to the opinion that women are not Mukhayev in Simchas Yontif, the women would not be Mukhayev in Sudas Yontif. So they wouldn't have to repeat the benching, they would forget Yalav Yavai. Then Rabbi Kaveger asks, but is that really why one is obligated to have a Suda on Yontif based on Simchas Yontif? There's a Chiyav Simcha. And there is no Chiyav Suda. If a person forgets Yalav Yavai in Chalamoid and the Bichas Allah, he doesn't have to repeat the benching. So don't you see that the obligation to have a Sudas Yontif is not really based on Simchas Yontif, it's based on Kibud V'Yoinik. In Chalamoid, for sure, there's no obligation on Kibud V'Yoinik. Oinik Shabbos, Oinik Yontif, that's only on Yontif, not on Chalamoid. So it's really a different question. Where the women are Mukhayev in Simchas Yontif, where the women are Mukhayev in Kibud V'Yayin. So Rabbi Gileger touches up his pshat a little bit, and he suggests maybe that was the Maisa Shoyim. But the Pashta says the thing should be that whether a man or a woman, the simple psak should be one who benched on Yontif, they forgot to say Yalav Yavai, has to repeat the bench. But on Rosh Chodesh or Chol Hamoed, it's clearly not so.
Got it. Okay, I have it.
Every other month we have one day Rosh Chodesh, and every other month we have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. 2 days Rosh Chodesh doesn't really make any sense. The first day of the month is today. Yesterday was the last day of Chodesh Sivan. It's not Rosh Chodesh. So this is a big discussion in the Poskim. Today is the real Rosh Chodesh Deraisa. Yesterday, some say it's only Rosh Chodesh Midrabbanon, some say it's less, it's only a minig. But the Rambam would appear that even the first day of Rosh Chodesh is Menat Torah. But the Rambam agrees you don't bring Musafim, you only bring Musafim on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So there is a din in the Gemara that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, you're not permitted to play music when you're eating a meal. unless it's a Sudas Mitzvah. So the Chasana, that's a Sudas Mitzvah, and that's permissible. On Rish Chodesh, we're not obligated to have a Suda. That's why if one benches and if he gets Yom HaBiyavai, you don't have to repeat the benching. But the Shulchan Aruch recommends as a Midas Chasidus that you should have, you should wash. I usually don't. You should wash on Rish Chodesh. It's like a mitzvah kiyumis, something like that, a Midas Chasidus. But if it wouldn't have been Rosh Chodesh, we wouldn't have had any music in the middle of the meal. So we should celebrate the fact that today's Rosh Chodesh. It should be a Chodesh of Yeshuas Menachomis. We shouldn't have to observe Shavuos Tammuz. We should be zecher to the Gula. A good Chodesh, everyone.